Welcome to episode 452 of the Aussie Tech Heads. As always, we are proudly sponsored by ATH Web Hosting. Check out the Aussie Tech Heads web hosting site and sign up for your cPanel. Setting up email is a breeze. Aussie Tech Heads web hosting is at athwebhosting.com.au. Due to popular request, this show is once again hosted by Will and Jason, the top two podcasting hosts in Australia. Didn't we just do a show last night?
I know, right? Like, we're like on, we're going off. We're all over the place.
Oh, yes, I am going off.
I'm still in the same clothes as last night. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we got Aussie Tech Heads now. We're ruling that. We got Obsidian Loft, of course. We're going nuts there. Old Fart Geeks is going absolutely burko on the ratings.
That one is crazy.
Oh, it's insane.
People like retro stuff, apparently.
Apparently.
Remember how we just did that show as sort of off the cuff? Yeah, why not? We might as well do it. We're always talking about old stuff. Yeah, maybe we'll do a show or something, a couple of shows, see how it goes.
Let's do three shows we put a heap of time and effort and prep work into and for no reward. And let's do one show where we just sit down and crap on for an hour and let's make it go really, really well.
And people love it for no reason. Can't pick a winner.
Oh, dear.
If you so did, I'd do a lot better at the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I know, right?
Which can't be that far away, right?
November, isn't it? Middle of November? Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. That's only like, a month? Yeah. A month and a half away or something now?
Not bad.
How you been, mate? How you been?
Not too bad. I just hope that when I do find a house to buy that's going to have some NBNs or something around there.
No, you don't want it. Trust me, it's overrated. So just a quick heads up, myself and Jason are doing the show tonight because Glenn has moved house, as you guys have probably been hearing over the last few weeks. He was hoping to get it all set up, but he ran out of time. So it's just us. But speaking of, NBN.
We've got the two best hosts anyway, so we don't really need the others. And Eric is not here either.
No, Eric's working. Poor bugger. It must be a hard life having to work. I got the NBN a couple of weeks back. It was all excited. It all turned up. And I had the official, Optus modem and I just got my Fetch TV and it's all hooked up and it's great. And I mean, absolutely nothing works, but it's fantastic. I've got fiber to the house.
Side of the house.
Did I mention nothing works? and that they just randomly ran conduit down the side of the house and drilled holes in the wall.
Not along the bottom of the house, where the garden or the edge of it is.
Not tucked along, away out of the way.
A few feet up and across.
Yeah, across the middle of the wall. That was the best part of the job they did.
Yeah.
They ran it straight into the house and they literally...
At the wrong end of the house?
Through both the... it's at the wrong end of the house to start with. They put it in the middle of the lounge room because that's, exactly where I want my... I want my modem in the middle of the lounge room. But they ran it straight along the wall, in the middle of the wall, to about the middle of the house, randomly just picked that spot, drilled a hole from the outside to the inside, and stuck the modem on the inside of the wall. They didn't even put face plates or anything on. It's so bad.
Dodgy brothers.
I'll quickly show you here. I've got a couple of photos that I'll just quickly pull up from my Facebook page. And you'll see here, that's the installation. That's as far as they got. They managed to drill a hole in the wall, put a couple of screws in, and leave the crap everywhere. That's the conduit you can see running along the side of the house. That's the front of the house. That's the roadside of the house.
Why would you even...
You can see down here where there's a concrete meets timber. There's a nice big gap all the way along there.
You could run it across there, couldn't you? Isn't that physically possible? Or is that only what smart people do?
So you can see that it's in the middle of the lounge room. My TV is just there. So, I don't know.
At least you get very fast television now.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, my internet speeds are amazing. I'm getting 100 down and 40 up until I actually do anything, just try to stream or actually upload or browse Facebook.
So tell everybody how you're currently streaming Skype.
Still currently streaming through the 4G. It's the only way I can actually do it.
On his mobile phone.
Yep, through the phone. It's super fast. It's ridiculous. It's 100 and... Last night at the speed test, I got 133 down. I forgot to screen cap it.
That's crazy. 133
down and 95 up I got last night. But, so I'm still streaming through the 4G because apparently fiber to the residence or fiber to the premise... What are they calling it? Fiber to the premises, FTTP. is completely useless for me at the moment. Not only that, my Fetch TV box not only doesn't work, but hasn't got the free TV stations activated, and the home phone doesn't work. So they only had three things to do, and guess what?
Didn't do none of them well.
Didn't do any of them. So, yeah, it's been... I mean, the weird part is my cable's still connected.
Yep.
So, like... huh? So I'm going to have to spend several hours on the phone on this weekend. I just know it.
Yelling lots. What happened when the guy, my dad's next door neighbor, got his NBN installed.
No.
When they dug a trench down and cut through a water pipe.
Oh, lovely.
And flooded the backyard and then covered it in and then took off after installing the NBN and left the pipe just bubbling away into the backyard. And they had to actually call somebody else to come in, a different contractor, after he called his NBN ISP. They got different contractor come in, turn off the water, cut out a section of pipe, weld in a new one, and then fill the hole back in again.
I'm in no way surprised. I've heard some pretty... I mean, not only that, they rocked up in a purple, like, ex-Cadbury rental van. It had full of dents and holes.
There were speed holes.
Yeah. There was three of them. Two of them didn't even comprehend English, and one only barely spoke it. They had no ID. They weren't in any sort of official clothing. It's only for the fact they actually had the work order on them was the only reason that someone let them in. Like, they're not something... If they rocked up to your house, normally you'd call a cop. So it's only because they had the work order and they knew what, you know, sort of what day it was that they were allowed inside.
Now you wish they hadn't.
I'll tell you what, it's horrid. I mean, I knew right from the start that things like the router and stuff I got from was going to be flaky, but I wasn't worried about that because I was only going to use that for the phone part of it. And I was going to use another router and bypass all that anyway. But seriously, like, nothing works. Out of the three things they did, nothing works.
Jeez.
So
you expect better, don't you?
Well, I expect some of it to work.
At least it's better than that crappy NBN label we're going to give us.
Yeah. You mean the one that would have worked?
Yes.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm impressed. Like, theoretically, I should have fantastic internet. It's fiber. It's all the way to the exchange. I know it's a fiber backbone because we've got the new estate, so new fiber was laid in this area. We've got brand new fiber. So by rights, it should be really good. There's obviously something stupid going on. The problem is, apart from every second day, the NBN co ringing me to chase up the complaint to tell me how things are going because I filed a complaint against the contractors.
Yep.
And then Optus ringing me to see if the NBN's ringing me. But the same person who I deal with at Optus for the NBN can't help me with the problems I'm having, so I've got to ring tech support separately.
God.
So, actually, I'll tell you what's funny. I was speaking to the guy filing complaint. I said, dude, I don't even know where to start. This is so bad. And his exact words were, don't worry, take a deep breath. I do this all the day.
So it might have happened to one or two other people, you're saying. So,
by the sounds of things, it's not an isolated incident.
And every night he goes home to the scotch, right? He's got an ample supply.
That's it. And you thought that was water. At least I hide my drinking problem.
Me too. Cheers. True story.
You mask it as red wine. You'd think there was just red wine in that glass. Anyway, I suppose enough of that. We probably should start talking about actual news.
Why don't we keep on the theme? The NBN construction costs will blow out past the $41 billion price tag previously forecast for the infrastructure project the company revealed today. You know, that number that was so much cheaper and better than the Labor one that was going to be crappy expensive fiber to the house we put in now much cheap. Oh well, it was, but now NBN today said its budget would likely increase by up to $15 billion from the planned $41 billion to between $46 to $56 billion, likely sitting at around 49. The government's equity cap of $29.5 billion will remain in place and will run out by June 2017. NBN will undertake debt raising from 2017 from private sector sources to make up the shortfall. Communications and Finance Ministers Malcolm Turnbull and Matthias Cormann attributed the change in peak funding requirements for the company to being for the first time able to accurately account for construction costs. So the numbers that what we said before were going to be cheaper, we just made them up. And now we can actually tell you what the construction costs are in reels. For example, in 2013, the previous management of the NBN published the actual average cost of $2,200 to $2,500 to connect each premises via FTTP, they wrote. The average cost to connect fiber to the planet, that's fiber to FTTP, was file never $2,200 to $2,500.
File transfer protocol?
Not then and not now. The average cost has been over time fairly consistent. As at 30 June, the actual cost was $3,632 in direct capex and $4,387 including lease costs. Similarly, the company had previously underestimated the needs of rural and regional Australia, which helped them win the government election by telling porkies again.
Yeah.
With regards to fixed and wireless and satellite, Turnbull and Common said, without substantial additional investment, they will not be able to provide services to around 200,000 premises what they said they were going to. Capital expenditure for NBN's fiscal 2015 year came at $3.3 billion compared to $2.5 in fiscal year 14 as the company funneled more money into the build and operating expenditure hit $1.3 billion from $1.1 last year. NBN Chief Financial Officer Stephen Rue blamed the increasing expenses on the cost of switching users from the Optus and Telstra networks, as well as workforce expansion. These costs will continue to increase with fixed line and network growth.
Just as a side note, I just did a quick calculation. The current estimated population in Australia is about 23.8 million,
mm-hmm.
roughly at the moment. So you said, what did you say, 49 billion is mm-hmm. what you said that's going to cost?
Around, yeah, that could go up to 56.
Let's say 49. That's a nice round number.
It's so really not a round number whatsoever. The nine is sort of round.
The zeros are round. There's lots of those. So the average cost, assuming it's $49 billion, the average cost per person is $2,058
mm-hmm.
per person. That's cost to get it to your premises, not including the, let's say, $100 a month for the rest of your life to actually have it.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a bit rude, really, for an infrastructure that's...
And now they're saying
the way they're talking, an infrastructure is technically still in place.
It'll increase to 4,387. So that's nearly double what you just said.
Well, I was going to say, if it's $55 billion, it's 2,300. What number did they pull out?
The average cost has been over time fairly consistent. As at 30th June, the actual cost was $3,632 in direct capex and $4,387 including lease costs.
But that must be per person who has it, not per actual population. Because yep. if that's the case, if it was going to be that,
yeah, because there's a lot less people got it.
Yeah, so times 23 mil.
more zeros.
That's over $100 billion.
Yeah,
that's doubling the cost if that was actually the case.
And Communication Minister Malcolm Turnbull has defended the government's back down on a promise to contribute federal funding for a high-speed internet cable connection to Birdsville and nearby outback towns. Prime Minister Tony Abbott shook hands with the deal with the Diamantina Shire Mayor Jeff Morton during a visit in May. But Mr. Morton has since been advised the deal is off because his area is set to receive an improved internet service from the first of two new satellites.
Great.
Satellites have got to be so much better than actual fixed.
Well, satellite's relatively quick, but latency.
Latency wow. is... You're not going to play a game against anyone.
Something like where, you know, latency is critical, it's an issue. It depends. Like a friend of mine has satellite. I'm trying to think where they are. Central Queensland, and they originally had satellite down, and it used to use dial up.
Yep.
Which actually wasn't bad latency. Like it was only probably, well, relatively speaking, like 100 millisecond up. But these. The speed obviously was dial-up, so it was pretty slow. But then once he got they got too far, the exchange moved to the next major town, they shut down this local exchange, basically, and they couldn't have dial-up, so they had to have two-way satellite.
Yep.
His speed then went nuts. His upload speed was like, I don't know, 10 meg, and his download was like 40.
Yep.
But his latency was like half a second, like 500 milliseconds, which for web browsing and stuff, okay, you can deal with that. But, yep. Yeah, to try and play anything at all, even something...
Or run a business.
Yeah, well, anything that was real-time, like you try and do... well, he used to be really heavy into World of Warcraft.
Yep.
Until he got that. Once he got that, he could actually basically breach a building and then go inside and then do what he needed to do, and then it would slingshot him back outside again.
You're like not in there yet.
Yeah, it was so bad. So, yeah.
Yeah. My cousin's got satellite because she's on a farm in the middle of Whoop Whoop, and besides the latency, it's expensive. And also, well, the quotas are like mobile phone quotas. You get bugger all
few gig if you're lucky. It should be subsidised. If it's the only option, it's subsidised, and it shouldn't be any dearer than ADSL pricing.
No, hers is expensive.
Okay, she hasn't looked into the subsidy. If there's no other option, if you can't get 4G and you can't get ADSL or anything like that, if you're too far from the exchange and satellite's the only option, it's government subsidised.
Should be, so, yeah. She gets calls every now and then from Telstra and others saying... Hey, we would, whatever you're currently with, we'd like to give you super fast ADSL. She's like, really? They're like, yep. She's like, okay, here's my address. They're like, yep, we're going to be better than them, faster than them, and cheaper price and more quotas. And you're in the middle of nowhere, and there's actually no way to get ADSL to that house, is there? Nope. See you again next month when you call back to do exactly the same thing.
That's it. Well, it's like, but no different to Springfield. Major developing. District. It's not even a suburb anymore. Its population in a couple of years is going to be the same as Brisbane CBD.
Yep.
And up until the start of this year, they had ADSL 1. A lot of the exchanges have now been upgraded to ADSL 2.
Yep.
Thankfully, the NBN is starting to come in.
I remember when Springfield started and there was a family called the Simpsons who moved in there and everyone kept ringing them up and there was a news story about how annoyed they were, people ringing up asking for the Simpsons in Springfield all the time.
Well, it's kind of your own fault, really. If your name's Simpsons, you don't move to Springfield. So, yeah, it's kind of your own fault at that point, I guess. But, yeah, what were we doing last night? We did that speed test on that other
DSL service. Reports.
DSL reports. And remember it came up because I used... because I have got the fiber and it works brilliantly for speed tests. It doesn't fall over on speed tests. It just... You can't use it for anything else.
Yeah.
But remember it said I was in the... What was it? Top 8% or something?
Yes.
Of a nationwide internet speed?
Mine was saying I'm in the top 71% of TPG ADSL users.
No, that's not bad.
I only get like... I was getting 8.5. Until I reboot later tonight. But you also need to check your buffer problems with your modem. You've got a buffer test.
Something I learnt last night about. I didn't realise that that was even a thing. Router buffer.
Yeah. Buffer is bad, especially for Skype. Do you know anyone who has problems with Skype ever?
Nobody on this podcast.
Everybody on this podcast. Every week.
Yeah, it's that's interesting. Well, it actually is odd because that makes sense. Every time I use my phone and stream 4G, I never have issues because there is no router. There's no middleman. It's just a direct stream.
Yeah.
Every time I run through my, you know, my backend with the... running through my backend, that's part of the problem. Every time I run it through my router and modem and everything like that, I'm getting those buffering issues, which Glenn would have been the same because I think he had two or three routers on the go. So that's something that we'll have to... investigate a little bit more, I do believe.
Hmm. Going on from that story about people who don't know what internet technology is, Mr. Turnbull said that the two new satellite service would be much better, especially for video conferences. Video conferences would be so much better.
There'd be absolutely no latency. You'd never talk over anyone at all because Skype has no latency now. Like, it's completely real time.
He said a fibre optic connection would also provide an improved service to Birdville and other nearby outback towns, but at a great cost. It would do nothing for somebody on a cattle station. It would do nothing for people in one of the smaller towns like Yuraka or any of the other smaller communities. He said 93% of Australia would be covered by fixed line technology under the National Broadband Network, and that would be achieved by 2020. Don't ask me what I'm doing in 5 years' time. I don't have 2020 vision.
So if you ran a cable, like a fiber cable, to a small town, and all the farmers set up their own, you know, radio, microwave, Wi-Fi network. That's in no way would improve their current situation.
Nobody wants that.
Okay.
4% would receive their internet by wireless, and the remaining areas, mostly remote regions, by satellite. And they all love it or else.
So the 4% that are... I'm assuming the 4% that are getting theirs by wireless, like, live on boats?
Yep. Like, in the middle of the outback.
Yeah, they're in, or they're out on a marina somewhere and you can't run a cable. Like, I'm trying to think what other situation you would want to have that.
Sucks to be them with the government, but there you go. Do you have any lovely stories? I've finished trashing the government because Eric's not here.
I haven't even started. Speaking of, well, it's kind of government related. Have you ever illegally downloaded the movie?
No.
Well, no.
Nobody does that.
I've streamed a few, though. Australian film distribution company Village Roadshow wants to see you. I mean, sue you.
Oops.
Chief executive Graham Burke has revealed the company intends to sue whoever they find to have downloaded one of its movies and also plans to block pirating websites. We're at this again, are we? Seriously?
Yep.
It's wrong. Pirates have been warned. So would they, like, go out there and sail the British flag and, you know, set sail on the seven seas?
Skull and crossbones.
Notices have issued... Notices... That's not even a sentence. No, it's just... there's words missing. It notices that they have been found doing... I think it's supposed to be notices have been issued and people have been found doing the wrong thing. Yes, we still sue people, according to him. Mr. Burke told the SBS. The question about whether he was worried about the company's reputation when it takes on everyday Australians who may struggle to pay the fines, he said he couldn't care less. Because he's in touch. He's like all the other... He's like a politician, really. He said piracy was theft, and those who engaged it should be dealt with regardless of whether they could pay up. So you're quite willing to waste a shitload of money on somebody who can't pay for it, but you won't give it to them cheaply.
Yep.
Right.
Sounds good.
On top of suing the distribution company, Hollywood blockbusters such as Mad Max, Fury Road, and the Lego Movie wants to lead a push to have piracy sites such as the Pirate Bay blocked through a new anti-piracy legislation.
Yes. Blockthepiratebay.org. That will completely shut down all piracy worldwide. Guaranteed. 100% you know your technology, sir.
Yeah.
I bow to you.
There's no Pirate Bay proxies. Like, you couldn't possibly go to Google and type in Pirate Bay proxies, and in no way would you come up with a list of several hundred proxies that you could get to the Pirate Bay through. Like, you, that's just something that we can't do these days.
No. Impossible.
So basically, we're absolutely in the process of implementing action to block illegal sites.
Every single one of them.
All of them. All the internet, we're blocking it. We're going through the legal preparation at this stage and we'll be ready in October to go to courts and ask them to block the sites. Tom Godfrey, the consumer advocacy group Choice, told news.com.au that blocking sites would almost be useless.
Yep.
Not quite, but almost. Anyone who has access to Google will be able to get around Australia's internet filter. The whole exercise has purely been about some very, very big players trying to prop up their business models and take out competitors. He also believes that blocking sites will hurt competition international. Whoa, man, who proofread this thing? Seriously.
Nobody. You. You're the one who's proofreading it for them.
I think so. Wow. He believes... I'm going to try and fill in the blanks.
Send him an email. Dear sir, do you even English?
That blocking sites would hurt the competition of international companies that have been stimulated rather than actually stop pirates, I think is what it's supposed to say.
Who is the biggest purchaser of stuff? People have already watched it by downloading it earlier and piracy and go, my God, this is awesome. Everybody should watch this and buy it and go to the movies and watch it.
That's me. Like, I don't download the stuff anymore. I stream it. But same thing. I've been responsible. Like, just take the Lego Movie as an example because I happen to read it and it's in my brain. So the Lego Movie, I watched it and myself and Sonia watched it. And since then, I know that at least 24 people on my recommendation have been to see it who weren't going to see it.
And they paid money.
Yeah, I know, right? So, you know.
Yeah, because people who go, Lego Movie, that sounds a bit crap. And you go, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. You should check it out. They did some cool stuff. Oh, okay. Well, if you say it's worthwhile, let's all go watch it.
Yeah, well, that's it. And
maybe a movie about Pez dispensers.
It has the opposite effect where, or pixels. It has the opposite effect where
don't go watch pixels.
Something like Mad Max, for example, Fury Road. I've warned everybody off scene, so it does have the opposite effect, I guess, as well. We literally downloaded Fury Road or streamed Fury Road. We got 25 minutes into it, and I had to stop it. I could not force myself to watch any more of it. But yeah, so basically saying, so fair enough, they want to wipe out Pirate Bay. That's understandable, but they're using pirating issues. I'm not reading any more of this. Basically, what they're saying is the same old story. We're not going to give it to you cheaper. We're just not going to give it to you.
Yep.
Because that's going to help.
And Pirate Bay is the only place to get illegal movies from anyway, so once they block access to that, then everybody will go through the roof.
Because Kick-Ass Torrents wouldn't be around without
Never
Pirate
heard of
Bay.
It, no.
What's the...
You're just making up words now, are you?
What are they called? Not BBS. What are they called, the other ones?
Newsgroups.
Newsgroups, yeah. Actually, honestly, I don't know much about newsgroups. I have had very little to do with those in the last few years. But
works very well with Sickbeard and Couch Potato.
I was going to say, I know of Couch Potato and Sickbeard because I was setting up my pie and there are options you can put on your pie. And even though I have nothing to do with it, I still know about it.
and if
they
Synology,
block the website...
It works on the Synologies really well.
And if they just block the website, well, gee, let me think. What other options do I possibly have? Let's start with a VPN and go from there. So
you want to watch South Park? Just Google for Watch South Park Online, and you've got websites that have got it there, and you can just watch it.
So the only thing that stumped me this year, that I like everything else we've been able to watch right away, whether it was the cricket, whether it was the footy, whether it was other V8 races, the only thing this year I could not find when we went away was Bathurst, a stream of Bathurst.
It's a wonder somebody didn't have it going from his bedroom TV or something.
It was so weird. Either there was somebody, like, they must have employed a team of people to take him down, because Telstra had the streaming rights, see, through the Telstra website.
Could have been on, like, Periscope or...
Well, I tried all that, and I could not find it anywhere. I couldn't even find a delayed stream, like, half an hour, delay or something. I just could not find it. So, whatever they were doing, they did a good job of it. But, yeah, I mean, it's not exactly rocket science to find stuff like this. I just want to know, they talk about enforcing the law and they're going to, amend the Copyright Act and blah, 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 blah. Nowhere in this article, this massively, really badly written article, does it say anything about what it's actually going to cost you. Okay, they're going to sue me, but what are they going to sue me for?
$1 million.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Are they going to just say, you owe us the $12 you would have spent if you had gone to the cinema, or like?
Nah. It's always like $120,000 or something that you would have spent when you went to the cinema.
Well, okay, that's probably more realistic, actually. It's been a while since I've been to the cinema.
It's all the popcorn. You didn't buy all the popcorn and overpriced Coke. Well, so you cost them $120,000.
We actually went to the drive-in. We're going to go again. And the drive-in was...
It's good to take kids to the
$7, I think, per car to get to the drive-in.
Yep.
A box of massive, big, freaking huge, bigger than you get at the cinema.
You can't eat it.
Thing of popcorn. I got a voucher. I prepaid on the net, and it was $10. It got me one of those. It got me two bottles of Coke. Not that I have sugar, but... It goes in two bottles of Coke. It got me two hot dogs, two hamburgers, and a handful of mixed lollies for $10.
Yep.
Like,
can't do that at the cinema.
You can't buy a bottle of water for that at the cinema.
No. How about a couple of TPG stories? I quite like my TPG, but it's being very naughty.
Yeah, especially about 10:30 of a night.
Yeah. Hang on, what time?
It's only 8:30. We're good.
After talks with Foxtel. There's a bad start. TPG is forcing newly acquired iiNet and its subsidiaries to abandon competing pay TV service Fetch TV. Only days after the TPG deal was approved, iiNet customers are already feeling the change. Closest thing Australia has to an online Foxtel rival, Fetch TV, is a free-to-air personal video recorder which lets you sign up to pay TV packages streamed from the internet. With support for movie rentals, Netflix, and four Australian catch-up TV services, Fetch TV is one of the country's most versatile set-top boxes. Rather than buy a Fetch TV box outright, you can add it to your internet bill for around $10 a month, but with TPG's acquisition of iiNet, The Fetch TV deal has been abandoned by iiNet and its subsidiaries Internode, Transact, Westnet and Adam Internet.
It's a bit weird.
That leaves Optus, Dodo and Slimtel as the only Australian ISP still offering Fetch TV to their customers. iiNet and its subsidiaries will continue to support their existing Fetch TV customers with existing unmetered deals expected to remain in place as they are written into user agreements, but the ISPs are no longer signing up new users for that. Australians still can buy a Fetch TV box outright for $399 from Hardly Normal, Domain and Joist Main, which is basically the same company.
Yeah.
Fetch TV is enjoying a fantastic run. We're profitable, we have no debt, and we're experiencing record growth, says Fetch TV Chief Executive Scott Lawson in response to the TPG decision. The vast majority of our growth is attributable to our retail partners and other ISP partners led by Optus. Initially, some Fetch TV streaming features were restricted to ISPs which supported multicasting at the telephone exchange, frustrating users connected to Telstra D-slams. This hurdle has been overcome in recent years, and the full Fetch TV service now works with any ISP. Optus has disabled the ability to stream digital TV recordings to devices around your home, having lost a legal stoush with Telstra and the AFL. TPG offers its own free IPTV subscription service, although it's limited to a handful of foreign news networks such as Al Jazeera English, Bloomberg, France 24, and Deutsche Welle. It does
Honestly, out of all those, Al Jazeera is the one to watch anyway.
Yeah, forget the others.
Yeah.
It does not offer a set-top box. Instead, the IPTV channels are only available to watch on a computer. Last year, TPG unveiled a deal to offer 10 Foxtel channels via the internet, similar to Telstra's T-Box. The service was expected to launch by 2015, but has yet to see the light of day. Although scrapping the Fetch TV deal may clear the decks for a new Foxtel-backed streaming service. The move to abandon Fetch TV, even when TPG doesn't currently have an equivalent offering in place, doesn't bode well for customers, fearing that TPG acquisition will transform iiNet and Co. to cut-rate broadband providers. TPG has made a name for itself as a budget ISP offering high download allowances, but blowing out contention ratios to force more customers to share the same back-end link, leading to increased network congestion. At the same time, it's broken new ground, acquiring 4G mobile spectrum and controversially rolling out fibre to the basement in competition with the NBN.
Fibre to the basement?
Yep, for big apartment complexes.
It's, I like Fetch. Like, I got it with my Optus deal, obviously, and, I mean, you get all the free-to-air stuff, plus you get, you know, 30 free movies a month
Netflix.
Random picks one. Well, on the new one, that's why I made sure it was part of my agreement. I got the new set-top box, because the version 1 doesn't support that, the version 2 does. You get Netflix, you get a Stan, you get a few different bits and pieces, actually, plus 15 actual Foxtel channels as well.
Hmm.
So it's not bad. I don't know why we.
It was $10 a month. Murdoch hates Netflix and things that are competing with his Foxtel.
Yeah, I suppose. But still, like it gives you, like, that's your selling point. If you don't have that, then what are you offering that, you know, to make people come to you? Like
budget internet.
Well, not really. It was the same price anyway. Like, you're not achieving anything. You just dissing anyway.
Dissing them off.
Yeah, that's it. And as we learnt a few weeks ago on Old Fart Geeks, just, you know, so you guys know that we do actually learn things on that show. Who makes the Foxtel boxes?
We do. We do.
Which, dang it. Okay, I've forgotten now.
Amstrad.
Amstrad, that's right. I was going
to say. Jeez, dude, didn't you watch the show? There was this guy who looks just like you, was in it. Serious, look at me, your twin brother.
Well, we spent all night last night talking about MAME and stuff. I'm like, oh, it was MAME. I'm like, no, hang on, that's the emulator. But yeah, so Amstrad's still raring to go in the set-top boxes, just in case you're interested.
Hopefully they can fix the IQ3. You ever watch the deals on television? Foxtel, super reduced rates, like $25 for lots of Foxtel stuff with the IQ1.
Yeah.
One.
I know, IQ1. It was bad enough when it was released.
For the sake of Pete, I had the IQ1 like 10 years ago.
It only had like an 80 gig hard drive or something, didn't it?
It wasn't that great.
Because I know the one I've got, the current one we're using, I haven't upgraded to the new box yet. The current one's got a 500 gig in it. I think the new one's got a 1 terabyte.
You need at least.
Yeah, which I'm actually going to pull out, put the 500 in, because it's got all the recorded shows on it. I'm going to put the 1 terabyte in my computer.
Good idea.
Well, you know, I'm not. It's either that or put them both in my computer, copy all the bloody video files from one to the other one, stuff that, or just swap them
around.
There's
something you can't do with a TiVo because they've got a special proprietary format for all of the movies.
I honestly don't know. I've read you can do it. I don't know how much mucking around. That's why I thought it'd be easy just to pull out of that one and shove it in that one, save trying to copy it all.
Yep, yep.
So.
And speaking of the TPGs, it's now offering wholesale partners the opportunity to access its fibre to the basement network through Layer 2 product for $27 a month, as demanded by the government's carrier licence conditions. Last December, the government revealed carriers such as TPG, who compete with the NBN, would need to offer non-discriminatory wholesale access to their networks and structurally separate their retail and wholesale businesses. The condition was specifically targeted at TPG, which took advantage of a loophole in the anti-cherry-picking laws to extend its existing network in metropolitan areas to build its own FTTB network. It's not cherry-ripe, dude. Settle down.
Oh.
Blah. Hate it anyway. The new license condition requires...
Makes you blow a point like 07 or something on a breathalyzer.
The new license condition requires service providers to offer a Layer 2 wholesale service for $27 a month before December 30, 2016. TPG avoided going straight for the baseline Layer 2 offering, which only provides partners with a data link, on top of which they can create their own plans, initially opting instead for a fully managed $45 a month package in March. However, we've confirmed the IT service provider, internet service provider, has since started offering the 27 per month Layer 2 product to wholesale partners. Under the carrier license condition, the Layer 2 service must offer speeds of 25 meg down and 5 meg up. The product must not cost more than 27 a month, the government ruled in the license condition. The prices in relation to the use of local access lines, specified carrier may add additional charges for backhaul to the point of interconnection. However, these charges should not discriminate between the specified carrier's own retail operations and those other carriers and carriage service providers seeking access, like they do in the US. TPG, which last week won regulatory and court approval for its takeover of rival IINet, recently created a new retail arm to sell its wholesale fibre to the basement product to residential customers. The carrier license condition requires TPG to functionally separate its retail and wholesale business by June 30.
Are you trying to compare us to the US?
Yes.
Why would we do anything that they do?
Because the backbone companies in the US are the ones who are restricting speeds for Netflix customers.
Yeah, I know, right?
To force Netflix to pay millions of dollars to them.
Mm. Pretty much, yeah, it's about right.
It's very bad.
Speaking of interwebs and very bad, well, according to the official peoples, the dark web is stronger than ever and showing Ross Ulbricht's prison sentence did nothing to deter crime. They need to understand without... I knew I was going to mess that up. I practiced it three times. Without equivocation? Equivocation?
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's a word now. There will be severe consequences. This was a message from Judge Judy... from Catherine Forrest, who sentenced...
Same thing.
The master, who sentenced the mastermind behind Silk Road, Ross Ulbricht, to life in prison without possible parole. It was hoped the half sentence handed down to Ulbricht would act as a stern warning to dark web operators looking to follow in his footsteps.
No.
However, it appears the threat that fell on deaf ears because the underground online drug trade is as strong as ever.
Shock and horror. Seriously, shock horror. Do you know those people what go to jail for selling drugs in Australia, bringing them into the country? Did it stop everybody from doing that? No.
According to a new study from Carnegie Mellon, so I just want to go there because of the name, it'd be awesome. Carnegie Mellon University examining online drug marketplaces, because what else do you do at university?
The experts, right?
I know, right? The brazen study saw Nicholas Christian and Kale Sakuza, wow, the clue's in the name, use automated software to extract and harvest information from 35 dark web markets. Working stealthily under the radar of market operators... It sounds like a bloody...
I keep hearing you saying duck web, right? And I think another duck feet.
Yeah, I know. The duo collected 3.2 terabytes of data, which catalogued the products listed for sale and the vendors and buyers. Mr. Christian said the data indicated drug markets on the drug dark web were producing between 100 million and 180 million in sales annually. To put this into perspective, at the height of its reign in 2012, when we believed we'd shut it down, it was only reaching 22 million. So yeah, well
they
done.
They didn't actually shut it down as well as they hoped.
Just in case you're curious, you can get let's see, what do they got? Testosterone. 250 milligrams by 10 for 16. What symbol is that? I'm trying to figure out the currency price. Symbol. It's
euro.
The current. No.
Yen.
The currency symbol's a B with two lines through it.
Bitcoin.
Is it?
Probably.
I was looking at that. Dark web. Well, the dark web, I was thinking that, but it just looked wrong. Maybe it's just this photo. It just looks odd. But yeah, so you can get for 0.69 of a
Bitcoin,
a Bitcoin, which is what, $7,000 or something
at the moment. Yeah,
you can buy Bureau Fenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenofenof
A lot. Nearly 1,500.
So it's still 100 and like 200 bucks basically for, you know, tablets of testosterone. So while these statistics seem alarming, they're nothing compared to the global drug trade, which the UN has valued at $321.6 billion. Is that just what the UN deals, or that's just their trade? That's what they deal to the other nations.
It's great income for the country.
But I found it hilarious. It's funny. We haven't heard of the dark web. They've deliberately kept out of the media for the last, 3 years or something to try and make you believe that this tactic worked.
Yep.
And then in the last 2 weeks since whatever it is, that stupid website got hacked.
Ashley Madison. Story coming up.
Yeah, but ever since then, the dark web, you know, is bad, and that's how they got into our website. And it's like, no, it's always been there. It's not a new thing.
They just went, shh, for a bit.
Yeah, just because it didn't go mainstream media doesn't mean it went away.
Don't tell them we're here. They'll never know.
The Bitcoin story is actually a really interesting YouTube video. I'll just quickly touch on it because I started watching it earlier today, and I actually quite enjoyed it. But basically, 2008, an anonymous idealist published a paper under the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. Was described as a digital currency for online payment.
I don't think anyone knows who he is yet, still.
Still, no.
They had some thoughts and some suspicions and went and confronted some guy about it. And they're like, you're him! He's like, no.
No, if he wasn't a billionaire, he would be now. The system was introduced as open source in 2009. 4 years later, the value of all Bitcoins was in the billions of dollars. Bitcoin is peer-to-peer technology, operate with no central authority or banks, which basically defuncts the entire concept of currency as we know it. Up until that point, we always believed that there had to be a common currency, that had to be backed by something. This proves that a currency
hasn't
can
been
back
for
itself.
A long time. Yep.
Well, I know we haven't actually had any gold in our reserves for the last 50 years, but
what's the gold?
Theoretically, our currency is backed by gold or pork bellies or whatever they happen to buy at the time to make it worth money.
Iron in this country, son. And coal. Iron and coal.
Yeah, great. Here, can I have my $400 in coal, please?
Yes, you can. At Christmas time, Grant.
That's about Christmas the only thing we can give you these days. Go and sit on it for a while.
We don't have any other products in Australia that we can export anymore.
So, but it's an interesting, it's a really interesting article. If you want to, learn about Bitcoins and stuff, go check it out. It just proves what sort of false economy we really do live in.
Yep. Speaking of that thing you were talking about before, a hacker potentially involved with the Ashley Madison leak may have been exposed and has previously compromised the website of the Australian Parliament. Good work, son.
Was that the one who graffitied it?
The allegations put forth by investigating computer security journalist Brian Krebs and comes just a day after Avid Life Media, the company that owns Ashley Madison, offered a $523,000 bounty for information that identifies the culprits. So he's just like, yeah, the day after you announced that, I know who done it. I couldn't tell you before because there was no reward offered.
Yeah, I know, right?
A group calling themselves the Impact Team have taken responsibility for the hack, but at this point the group's members remain faceless. However, this could be the first chink in the armor. That's racist. In an article posted to his blog, Mr. Krebs accused Twitter user Thaddeus Zhu of being involved and believes he's unintentionally left incriminating evidence. The user of the account is a prolific tweeter and sometimes posts hundreds of messages a day. Suspecting his involvement, Krebs downloaded the Twitter feed and sifted through it for clues. Among them is a bizarre tweet he directed at the Australian Parliament in 2012 after he compromised the website of the Australian Parliament, according to the post. The tweet contained the lyrics of Aussie band AC/DC's hit song Thunderstruck, Parliament of Australia, Dead Link, Oi, 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 TNT, Dynamite, listen to AC/DC, hear it, Red. It has been revealed that the song played in the background of a message left by hackers and staffers' computer at Ashley Madison informing them of the breach. Following the tweet to the Australian Parliament, he retweeted a similar message to a computer security company in the Netherlands. Next time it will be Thunderstruck AC/DC, he wrote. Before the news of the hack was public, Zoo was tweeting to others about getting the show started, and a screenshot posted by the user showed a tab with the song playing on YouTube. The user's account boasts a number of previous smaller hacks involving the hijacking of routers, network cameras, printers, and websites. Brian Krebs claims to be the first to know about the hack after the Impact team contacted him on July 19 and confidentially shared a link directing him to the cache of stolen data. It was minutes later that he noticed the Twitter user also posted a URL to the hacked information. It was this that initially piqued his suspicion. Another thing that led Krebs to believe the person was involved was when Zoo posted a copy of the team's Time's Up statement that had announced the leak of the data a full 24 hours before many journalists had begun reporting on it. In countless tweets, Zoo denies involvement with the hack, but frequently uses the royal we when referring to the hack. Of people take-
You use the royal we once they've got a special room or what?
It's a royal flush. It's possible that Zoo is instead a white hat security researcher or confidential informant who has infiltrated the Impact team and is merely riding on the coattails or acting as their mouthpiece. But one thing is clear, if Zoo wasn't involved in the hack, he almost certainly knows who was. The Toronto Police Service is leading the investigation of the data leak. It's been linked to two suicides in the country and have enlisted the top cyber investigators in the FBI and other US agencies.
I want to show you something interesting. I just went onto the Ashley Madison website because it's...
Did you sign up?
I've never actually done it, and I'm just curious. Other than the privacy policy down here, states we don't give your information to anyone else, which apparently that's wrong.
Yep.
I just looked down the bottom here. Fully you from Melbourne, 22, okay. Slim, you know. My limits are something long term. So
I don't want something long term. Stop it. No, not so long.
So what does it mean? She does want something long term. Like, here's somebody on a cheating website who's currently, apparently according to the status, she's currently single. Oh. You go onto a website that's full of cheating males to find a long term commitment.
Yep.
Hello.
Well, the funny thing that I've heard about this first. People downloaded the data and analysed it and found out that 86% of the people on there are men.
Men, yeah. Despite women don't have to pay to join.
And another thing is there was a former staff member of Ashley Madison who was saying that she was paid to create fake female profiles to keep more men coming to the site.
Yeah, because it's like 1,000 to 1.
Which is the same as all the other dating sites, by the way, if nobody knows that. And the other thing is that apparently you could pay $19 when you quit to have all of your data completely removed, but the leak shows that none of it was actually removed, but you paid your $19 for nothing anyway.
Yeah, well, how else are they supposed to keep their figures looking good?
Yep. I go to the gym to keep my figure looking good.
It's just funny when you click, because every time you click back and then you click on show, sign up, you click on, you know, what, attach male, attach female, whatever. So let's try something else. Let's go attach female seeking male and just see what pops up.
You want to rephrase that?
Not now.
Too late.
So it's just funny. Like, it's, you're not, like, obviously they want you to sign up before you go any further.
Yeah.
But every time you click on it, it shows you a list and you can kind of read some of them anyway.
Yep.
So yeah, you get a different. I'm sure that somebody's got to be fake profiles. I mean, who calls most themselves Pokeboo? Yeah. Seriously. So there's someone from Sydney.
Yeah.
All these chicks are like 5'6". Just about every one of them on this page is 5'4", 5'4", 5'4", 5'6". Like, what is that?
Nobody likes tall chicks.
Well, I'm wondering if it's just like a generated algorithm.
Yes,
but like that, because that's the average height.
Yeah, but you go to Reddit and you have a look, do a Google search for generated dating site profiles, and you can see there was a funny one I was reading the other day where this guy posted one and it was obviously computer generated. It's like, hi, you know, I've just come out of a relationship and I like walking on the beach. I like to have the pina coladas and getting caught in the rain. 214 characters. Please enter more. I also like, you know, surfing and walking the dogs. I have fun with my daughter. She's really important in my life. 223 characters remaining. It was actually posted in the actual.
Like, oh man!
Yeah, somehow I don't think that one's real.
Speaking of things that are computer generated, he must be.
Was he computer generated? I believe that makes a lot of sense. I fully understand where he's come from.
Makes it so real now. No, Facebook might just have the first truly useful personal assistant software called M. Mm. You can't have that. That's James Bond.
Mm.
Facebook's latest technology company to offer users a virtual assistant service. Facebook is testing. Oh, speaking of Facebook, actually, while I'm thinking about it, I accidentally did this the other day on Facebook. If you're in Facebook and it does stupid things, if you try to type something and you hover over a link, it takes the cursor off what you're typing.
Yep.
But if you actually press F1, there's actually. So it's not going to do it now. It did it the entire. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Was it F1? Yeah. Oh, last night you'd press F1 and it would bring up an overlay of all the help keys and shortcut keys and command keys and stuff like that.
Ah.
It's not doing it now. Seriously, it's not because it knows it's on TV. But yeah, I was astounded by that.
Won't
but anyway,
live.
Yeah. Unless they disabled it now because they want you to use this other thing. But anyway, so yeah, M can do things like buy items for you, get gifts delivered, book a restaurant, reservations, or appointments. It can perform tasks that none of the others can. This is because not only does M use artificial intelligence, seriously, it's actually people powered as well. I'm going to Chicago next week. I'm looking for some great burger. Where should I go? People rave about Command Burger. Do you want me to make a reservation? Yes, that would be awesome. That's
people rave about our sponsor who's paid us a lot of money to recommend them.
Exactly. The goal of M is not just to be a personal assistant, but to be a one-stop shop for mobile discovery. Traditionally, Google has been the king of this, particularly on your desktop computer, where you can search for local movie times. M is hoping to replace that by being a one-stop. Do they not know Google works on your phone now? You also have a
hey, you got label. The internet on computers now?
I know, right? We start capturing all of your intent for the things you want to do, says Marcus. Intent often leads to buying something or a transaction, and that's an opportunity for us to make money. That was actually a direct quote from him. Facebook is hoping other companies build into M to offer native support, buy things, and give extra information. In other words, spend money on us and we'll send people to your shop. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a cross between Siri and Google and a few other bits and pieces. We'll see. Is it something I'll use? No.
I don't want to talk to my Facebooks.
I have enough trouble typing on my... Well, actually, no, incorrect. I do want to talk to my Facebook if it'll post a status for me.
No, I said Bailey Friedman, you God-ram plucking pizza ship. That was one of my favorite things. One of the first stories on The Onion was this, about this woman who... had voice recognition software, and she was trying to dictate a letter to a guy called Barry Friedman and kept on typing Bailey Friedman. And then she was incensed to see that it had typed, no, not Barry, Bailey Friedman. Barry Friedman, you got ram-plucking pizza ship.
The fact that you could say that at such speed was actually quite impressive, to be honest.
I had a lot of practice.
So yeah, it's another one of those things. I don't know. I mean, I don't use the Google voice search hardly at all now anyway.
No.
The annoying part about it is it doesn't like my particular voice. It's not real accurate.
That's because it doesn't understand your Australian accent, son.
I don't know. And one of them, Nathan, our driver, he's a Kiwi and it works perfectly for him. The guys
now, hang on. I don't believe that. No, seriously,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, it works fine for him. The guys next door and the takeaway, and they're Asian. It works perfectly for them. My boss is kind of got like a bit of an English accent going on. It works fine for him. It just will not work for me. We can say exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And it works for them, and it won't work for me. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but it's something else to look out for. I mean, give it a try. If it's anything as useful as their messenger that they... need you to install, then yeah, because that never crashes.
I held out for as long as I could, and then they're like, you just can't send messages from Facebook anymore, son. Time to move on to Messenger. Like, yeah. Golly gosh, if I have to, I have to, but I'm not going to sync you with Skype.
I don't care. I know, right?
I'm not going to sync you with Skype. Screw you, hippie.
If it didn't lock up all the time, I'd be more than happy to use it.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got going on?
Last week, Jim Cramer, the boisterous host of CNBC's Mad Money, had a company called Skywork Solutions on his show. The company, a chip supplier for Apple, said its sales were strong in China, but its stocks plummeted afterward anyway, following global markets into the red. And that gave Cramer an idea. What would Tim Cook, Apple's chief executive, say about iPhone sales in China, a crucial component to Apple's future growth? He sent the question to Cook by email Sunday evening. His letter read, "Dear Tim, just trying to do my best to cover Apple, as always, and I'll keep running up against China fears and China worries. We're in a tough market at the moment, and any clarity I might be able to get before Squawk on the Street on 9 Eastern time would be really helpful." Cook, who is known for being an early riser, sent his reply about 8 a.m. Monday, 5 a.m. in California, where he lives. "I get updates on our performance in China every day, including this morning, and I can tell you that we have continued to experience strong growth for our business in China through July and August," Cook said in an email to Cramer. "Obviously, I can't predict the future, but our performance so far this quarter is reassuring." The email gave Apple a short-term reprieve, helping lift its stock from 10% down to positive territory. Apple ended the day down 2.5%. The email also spoke to the amount of pressure that companies, even blue-chip brands like Apple, face in the recent market turmoil. Jan Dawson, an independent technology analyst for Jackdaw Research, said Apple's stock had taken a beating largely because of growing concerns about China. "A simple solution was to send signals of positive performance in China to Cramer," he said. "I'm sure Cook was well aware that Cramer would share it with his viewers and it would therefore quickly become public. Apple stock has certainly risen sharply since the email was made public, so it's arguable that it worked." There we go. You want your stocks to go up, send an email to CEO and get him to reply saying, "Things are great, mate. Don't worry about it."
Taking that drinking on the Friday night, take some nasty photos and send them with the email.
Yeah.
Speaking of, well, I guess you mentioned Apple in that story. According to sources familiar with Apple.
Sources.
Apple source. That needs to be a thing. Make it happen. The iPhone 6S will have a 5-element 12-megapixel rear camera, so a fancy way of saying 5 lenses on a 12-megapixel camera, which is up from the 8-megapixel camera it currently has. Apple has planned an update, apparently. The iPhone 7 apparently is set to receive an even more substantial upgrade. The rear camera will have 6 elements rather than 5. When I say elements, they're lenses, people.
I've watched The Fifth Element. That's a great movie with Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Multipass. I'll tell Bosch.
The iPhone maker. So there's basically, I mean, there's a screenshot that they apparently saw the corner of the phone, and that's what it looks like. So
the corner of a phone. That's what's make news these days, people.
I know, right? Like, seriously. but they go on to say that they think that the iPhone 6 event, which is expected to take place on September 9 at San Francisco. According to locals, the Bill Graham Civic Auditorium, a 7,000-seat capacity space, has been booked by an unnamed person for September 4th through September 13th.
Oh, I know who. Event. Tim Cook?
Bill Graham? The filing says the event will only run until September 10. There's no guarantee, of course, this is Apple's. However, the venue is crawling with security guards and they won't allow anybody into the secured area. Although, strangely, I think that's actually their job, regardless of...
Yep. They're doing their job right, is what they're saying.
Yeah. The headline should read, "Security guards...
Does what he is paid for."
Oh, man. Another quick one on phones. Samsung's newest phone, I don't know, they don't say, the Note 5, apparently, there we go, has the ability to write on the screen even when the phone is locked.
Yeah, with the stylus. I heard Leo talking about that.
Yeah. The trouble
apparently
is...
Apparently, if the stylus and the phone separate, then you get notification that you've left one behind.
Well, they all do that. They've done that since, like, the Note 1, yeah. The trouble is that the stylus can be inserted back into the slot either way. One way is correct, the other way is not. If you put it in the wrong way, you're likely to jam it into the phone and you have to take the phone apart to get it out.
I think Leo did that as well on his show because I saw today... a video of Leo putting his stylus in the phone. I'm like, why is that news?
Yeah. So there's actually... Samsung have actually put a video up on their channel. If you have put it in the wrong way, how to put it out. And then
get
how
pliers, to put it in the get wrong card.
Way. So yeah, pretty much. So basically they're saying if you put it in the wrong way, it's all your fault. That's a direct quote from Samsung.
Not covered by a warranty.
If Samsung says, so put it in the right way or it's your fault.
Yep.
It's another smartphone designed for, apparently, to add to the list with antenna gate and don't hold it that way gate and bend gate. So there you go.
So if you've got Apple gate, Christina.
Yeah. Sauce?
Saucy, certainly.
What about now? Shit, how is she now? Bloody hell.
She's in that new vacation movie that I don't want to watch, but she's in it.
Oh, is she in that one? I know the one you're talking about. The one they kept pushing on YouTube all the time.
Because nobody will go to the movie to watch it because they've found out how...
No, isn't that a Netflix exclusive or something?
Near. It's at the cinemas.
Okay. But even Netflix didn't want it.
No.
Speaking of dating sites that we, as we were before, just in case, you know, Ashley Madison wasn't obvious enough, you can also go to Plenty of Fish.
Puff.
Don't ask. But plentyoffish.com is a dating site. A legitimate one. Has been around for quite a while, actually. It's one
Did they
the
pay
online.
For this plug?
No.
Okay.
They got hacked as well.
Ah.
Cyber criminals can't leave dating sites alone, with news emerging from hackers containing the matchmaker service Plenty of Fish. An ad run on the website last week may have muddied the waters of the dating pool by dropping malware on users' computer. Plenty of Fish claims to be the largest online dating site with more than 3 million daily active users, blah, 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 blah. The malicious advertisement was distributed by an ad network placing ads on POF.com, POF.com, and uses Google's URL shortener to redirect visitors to a series of websites that ended with Nuclear Browser Exploit Kit, which infects systems.
Whoops.
So if you're a techie out there and you're doing a heap of systems that currently have the Nuclear Browser Exploit, you can tell
you
them, stay off Plenty of Fish. You're not looking for...
I better go close down my account.
So apparently it affects Flash, Silverlight, Adobe Reader, and Java.
So they haven't hacked the Plenty of Fish site, but they got into the advertisers portal.
Yeah, they went through the advertising portal.
Bad advertising in there. That happened to a lot of sites a few years ago, and we had people bring their computer in. I don't know why I don't go to any bad websites. I was like, no, even if you go to like Sydney Morning Herald website, Daily Telegraph, or CNN or something, they all use the same ad network. And once the bad guys get in the ad network, the ads come up on all the sites, and then it goes into all the computers, usually through a hole in IE that nobody is ever going to patch.
Which is why I use Adblock. A day before Malwarebytes discovered this, they also found an online banking Trojan known as Tinba, T-I-N-B-A, that was also being distributed by the same ad network. This is a legit ad network.
It's not double-click, is it?
Yeah, probably. They're not even screening their ads properly. So that one went through. That was placed on all the banking websites because it was obviously, you know,
remember when ads used to be simple GIF or something, and now they do Flash and JavaScript and hack your computer.
So unlike the these stories tonight are not written properly.
Good ones, thank you.
Unlike the recent hack of the online discrete arrangement service, Ashley Madison, I like the way they put that, it does not appear the user
discrete arrangement service, God.
It does not appear that the user data of Plenty of Fish...
It's like a sandwich artist.
But infection by malicious adware could be just as bad. Other browser exploit kits have infected Windows PC with encrypting and ransomware. Speaking of which, there's a new
Cryptolocker
coming out. It's called Malvertising now.
Click nothing. Click nothing.
Unsavory byproduct of decentralized, lightning fast online ad ecosystem. Wow, could they put any more
buzzwords?
Seriously. At least five intermediaries, are often many more separate operators from a website from the people. So what they're basically saying is there's too many cooks in the kitchen, and some of them are spiking the punch.
Yep.
My punch doesn't need spiking. My punch is strong enough.
You need a bit more punch, son. Don't forget, each week on Facebook, we post free applications for iPhone and Android, so keep an eye out for that. You can listen to the various Australian podcasts streaming from AussieTechRadio.com. There's Two Blokes Talking Tech, the Obsidian Loft Minecraft podcast, Old Fart Geeks, Geeks Fear, Your Tech Life, and many more. You can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/AussieTechHeads. Follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/AussieTechHeads. Watch our videos on YouTube at YouTube.com/AussieTechHeads. We're picking up a theme here. Thanks for watching.
Has it got something to do with Aussie Tech Heads?
No.
Ah.
That was the trick. You fell for it.
Dang it. I always fall for that one. Has it got something to do with Australia's two best podcasting hosts?
Yeah,
that's the one. I knew we have to. Yeah, there we go. Don't forget obsidianloft.com. You can check us out. Old Fart Geeks. You can
new Old Fart Geeks coming out very soon.
iTunes.
Biggest downloaded and listened to podcast that we're on.
Well, yeah, probably by the time you guys have heard this, Old Fart Geeks should be out as well. So,
yep. Thanks for listening and watching and whatever you do, and we'll catch you again in another week. Bye, everybody.
See you guys. See you next week. Bye.